Did you know that the favourite to win Brazil's election this weekend is a Trump-like candidate? Jair Bolsonaro is a 63-year-old, thrice-married former army captain, a conservative populist who promises to make Brazil great for the first time. So why has Brazil, once a leader of the international left, suddenly shifted to the right? Matias Spector is Associate Professor of International Relations at the FGV in Brazil. He's also a columnist and author of several books on Brazilian politics. He joins me now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Bolsonaro secured 46% of the vote in the first round of the elections earlier this month, while the next candidate, Fernando Haddad, he's of the left-wing Workers' Party, he could only manage about 29%. Does that mean that the election of Bolsonaro this weekend is a done deal?
Well, the election is now for Bolsonaro to lose. Everything indicates that he is going to win with a very solid majority, showing that Brazil is indeed moving to the right.
Tell us more about Bolsonaro and what he stands for.
Bolsonaro has been a member of parliament for 30 years, but he was a very quiet, unexpressive backbencher until 2013, when mass protests in Brazil broke because of a corruption scandal, an economic crisis struck, producing a vast recession that drove millions of Brazilians into unemployment. At that moment, Bolsonaro increasingly became the conduit for expressing anger. He's outspoken, he's quite rude, his rhetoric and gestures are way outside mainstream Brazilian politics, but that's precisely what's made him so appealing to a very large chunk of the Brazilian electorate who want change and have very little faith in the political establishment of the old Brazilian tradition.
Well, that is a very Trump-like scenario, because this guy obviously says politically incorrect things about, you know, identity politics that inflames his opponents. And you could argue that after years of recession and corruption, violent crime, perhaps an outsider is what Brazil needs. Is that the sense in Brazil?
That's absolutely the sentiment in Brazil. And the reason why so many million Brazilians have been supporting Bolsonaro is precisely because of all available candidates, he's been the one who's made the most credible commitment to change. Now, whether he will be able to deliver on change or not remains to be seen. But I think the key point here is this. Bolsonaro's been riding a wave of popular anger. If he fails to deliver on change, that wave is likely to engulf him and eat him up alive.
Just recently, he described the country as being at war. And he said that if he's elected, he'd mobilize the army for routine street patrols. Now, who does he believe the country's at war with?
So he believes the country is at war, first of all, with criminals. Street violence is very high. We had 60,000 homicides last year. That is more homicides than homicides in Iraq and in Syria put together last year. Bolsonaro is making a firm set of statements about fighting crime through tougher policing. Now, this is very politically incorrect, and he has not shied away from saying things that would otherwise be unacceptable, such as he's been supporting the use of torture against criminals, and he has come out in support of extrajudicial killings. So many people say that Bolsonaro is like Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines, a extreme right-wing populist who's willing to use the fight against crime to try and consolidate his grip on power. The second group is, of course, the left. The left have run Brazil for about 15 years, and they have left as a legacy, more recently, economic recession and a string of corruption scandals. Of course, these scandals do not affect only the left. A lot of right-wing parties have been involved in these scandals as well. Bolsonaro is one of the few political national figures in Brazil today who hasn't been tainted with corruption scandals yet. And he's been using this to signal to the electorate that he is different and he's going to bring about change.
Okay, now, as an aside, just quickly, there was military rule in Brazil in the, 60s, 70s and early 80s, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay, now, his opponents say that Bolsonaro's praise for the military shows he's a threat to democracy. Your response?
It's true that his statements are indeed worrying. They would certainly put Brazilian democratic institutions to a test. And one could argue that the quality of democracy in Brazil today is under very severe threat, not only because of Bolsonaro, but also because of endemic corruption and rampant crime. Now, whether in power he's going to go the way of Recep Erdogan in Turkey, for example, remains to be seen.
Yeah, but he's not proposing to change Brazil's constitution, which constrains the military, right?
He's not proposing to change the constitution, but, you know, critics will say that he's not proposing that yet, but that he might, if he becomes president and then begins to deliver and his popularity ratings remain high, then he might be tempted to change the constitution. That's what critics say, but it's very early in the game for us to know. The key point here is that his statements smack of old-style authoritarianism, and that has got many people worrying about the future of Brazilian democracy.
Well, you're listening to Between the Lines on RN with me, Tom Switzer. We're discussing Brazil's populist election candidate, Bolsonaro. My guest is Matias Spector. It's quite fascinating because not so long ago, Brazil was regarded as a leader of the international left. And now the country, as we've been discussing here, it's on the verge of electing a right-wing populist as president. Now, not only that, Latin America as a whole is increasingly electing right-wing, market-friendly governments. There are obvious exceptions, such as Venezuela. But how do you account for this shift, generally speaking, from the left to the right across Latin America?
The left came to power in Latin America on the back of a massive economic boom propelled by Chinese consumption of Latin American commodities. So from about the mid-2000s to the 2015-2016, Latin America had a period of remarkable economic growth, which allowed governments to redistribute wealth and set out a number of policies to do with improving the lot of Latin America's poorer citizens. That trend, however, went into reverse from 2015 onwards, and the commodities boom turned into economic decay and decline, and a few countries like Brazil experienced a massive recession, putting millions of people into unemployment. So the shift has to do with the end of the commodity boom, and now it looks as if we're going to have governments on the right for a while, because most Latin American states, the bigger ones, have all faced enormous economic strife, deficits in their accounts, and a state that spends way above what it manages to collect. So the move to the right seems to be the new normal in a range of countries like Chile, Argentina, Colombia, and now Brazil.
The question is, I suppose, is to what extent will this be enduring? Well, back to Trump, many parallels have been drawn between Trump and Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro apparently and Trump have said nice things about each other, I believe. Now, one of the similarities is the way they were both able to use social media very effectively in their campaigns. And they're talking over the mainstream media, or as Sarah Palin once said, the lamestream media. How different is this to previous elections in Brazil?
Bolsonaro, as you say, has been very savvy in his use of social media. He's copied an awful lot of elements of the Trump book, no doubt about that. But there is a crucial difference between Bolsonaro and Trump. Trump, remember, managed to take over the Republican Party, and he's got the support of the establishment in the form of the Republican Party. Bolsonaro comes from the fringes. He does not have the establishment behind him. He doesn't even have a large party behind him. In that sense, Bolsonaro is even more of an outsider than is Trump. And this comes with risk, of course, because if he fails to deliver on change, if the economy does not recover, if he begins to have trouble passing legislation in a Congress which he does not control, in which he has a minority of seats, then we're in for a bumpy road ahead.
Okay, and a lot of these governments in Latin America, generally speaking, have been anti-American over the years. Given that Bolsonaro is such an admirer of Trump, is it safe to assume that with him as leader, Brazil would become a much closer ally of Washington than it has been in the past?
I think that's correct. At least that's what Bolsonaro has been promising. He's been saying that he plans to get much closer to the United States. He's also said that he would like to see the Brazilian embassy move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He has toyed with the idea of taking Brazil out of the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. So in many respects, what we are likely to see is at least a rhetorical move to get Brazil closer to Trump. Whether that succeeds is a different matter.
Marius, it's been great to have you on the program. We rarely discuss Brazil in this country, but you've enlightened ABC listeners today. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Marius Spector. He's Associate Professor of International Relations at the FGV in Brazil. You're on RN.